Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
The Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
Another Crab Feast for that at. Touching your pitch early and often, Jay Larson.
Damn, son.
Early and
damn,
often.
Damn, son.
Good to see you, Jay Larson.
Good to be here with you, Sickle. So, always a pleasure, Ryan Sickler Official. Feaster Nation, what's cracking? Oh, LT over here on the tubes. JLarsonComedy.com, JLarsonComedy, all social media. Got some dates coming up for you. The 25th, I'm doing an evening with Jay Larson at Meltdown Comics at 9 p.m. If you go over there to the website, you can grab tickets. Should be fun. I'm going to do a longer set because I'm going over to Europe, and I would like to do some new material over there. So come out on the 25th if you're in L.A., an evening with Jay Larson at 9 p.m. It's a Monday night at Meltdown Comics. And then I'm heading off to Dublin to do the Vodafone Comedy Festival, which will be the Thursday, July 28th through Sunday, the 31st. And then over to the Invisible Dot in London, the 1st through the 4th. So those are some dates to keep in mind if you're over across the pond. And then do we want to talk about what we got going on?
Of course.
Sickle Cell and I. Put a little Crab Feast tour together, y'all. So November 6th, we're going to be in Boston. November 8th, we will be in New York City. Laugh Boston in Boston on the 6th. Caroline's in New York on the 8th. We'll be at Helium in Philadelphia on the 9th. And we'll be at the Arlington Draft House in D.C. on the 10th. And the 11th, we're still working on a Baltimore date, but we think that's coming together, yes?
We've reached out.
And we have some other dates we're still putting in the works, but we're excited about all those.
Coming to the East. Feast is coming east.
Feast is coming to the east, and we've got some other cities we're trying to get out to. So pulling together.
We're coming to see y'all.
Cell of the Sickle.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, RyanSickler.com. Also would like to tell you about the Crab Feast stand-up show at the Comedy Store Tuesday, August 16th. Tickets are only $5. It will be a great lineup. And also the Los Angeles Podcast Festival, September 23rd to the 25th. There will be a live stream in every room. So those of you who can't come to the festival, you can sit wherever you want to sit and watch all the podcasts. All of them will be archived on the website where they will remain for 30 days. So you'll have time to watch as many podcasts as you want. The price of the live stream for the entire weekend is $25, but you can use our coupon code to get $5 off on the live stream. So you can purchase it for $20. Go to lapodfest.com. to purchase the live stream and enter our promo code CRABFEAST for the discount. Tickets for all shows are on RyanSickler.com and thecrabfeast.com. Thank you, and please keep using that Amazon link. Please keep using that damn Amazon link.
And pass it out to family. If you're over at a friend family's house for that Sunday dinner, go over and adjust their Amazon to go
just
through the CRABFEAST link. Yeah, don't ask them. They have it up in their bar.
Just do it.
What's the big deal? It goes right to Amazon anyway.
Premium episodes are available for iTunes and non-iTunes users. Click on the premium apps on the website. Facebook fan page. Thank you for the love. Love seeing all you state reps starting to post stuff out there. The iTunes page. Loving the reviews as always. And speaking of loving, we got a great sponsor here. You got something, Jay?
Yes, I do.
Yes, he does.
Two things. One, I want to say special thanks to all you guys. I've been posting those shorts that I did, and you guys have been awesome about sharing them and complimenting them and enjoying them and watching them, and I just really appreciate that, and I want to say thank you. And I want to acknowledge some of our new state reps. You guys keep hitting us up. A lot of people still in the works. If you're out there and you're in a state that's not been taken yet, please hit us up because we'd love to have you guys involved. So special shout-out to new Minnesota state rep Ty Casey.
What's up, Ty Casey?
in Virginia, Kevin Bedard. Iowa, Katie Brown. Sup, girl? Connecticut, Mark Spencer. Florida, David Espana. And in Montana, Andy McNamara. Thank you, guys. Hopefully, as we start to tour the country, people are going to get involved. If you have a state that you're a part of and you just heard someone listed, go look. There's going to be fan pages, and we will post them on our site with all the new fan pages. So keep an eye out for that. Love you guys. Feast of Nation, live and well.
And if you're ready to upgrade your lifestyle and leave boring behind, all while getting the best prices on the web, touchofmodern.com has all the latest trends across fashion, tech, and decor with the best prices anywhere. Touchofmodern.com, go there now. They connect directly with top designers. They have timeless and unique products. Each item is hand-selected to grab your attention, all at the best prices online, anywhere guaranteed. And they're always doing sales, 80% off, 70% off, 50% off. There's all kinds of sales. You can go there and get...
And they don't last forever.
They don't last forever because people buy the stuff. It's that good. I'm nonstop, I am on touchofmodern.com looking at everything. I just bought... What did I get the other day? I've already had a bag. I already got a flashlight. That's how you bought that flashlight?
Did you?
Yeah,
that thing's legit.
It's like Luxor. It's like the top of the Luxor. Touch of Modern scours the globe for unique design-focused products to elevate your lifestyle. They have jaw-dropping tech gadgets and gear, sleek iPhone cases and accessories, eye-catching new and vintage watches, plus men's fashion and accessories sure to get noticed. With loads of new sales literally launching every day, touchofmodern.com is the one website to discover and improve your lifestyle in a single click. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access to these deals when you sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today, because tomorrow it'll be different. That's how life rolls in the fast line.
Well, we're about to get in the fast line tonight,
yes,
son.
Yes, we are.
Excited about this guest. She's just such a trip.
She's special.
She's special. And through comedy, we've known her and excited to have her on for the first time. So without further ado, please give a warm welcome to Annie Letterman. Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Thanks, guys. I had crabs in college, so I feel honored that you named your podcast after me.
How did that happen? I mean, I got a good guess, but specifically, how did that happen?
That was... I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, going to the College of Santa Fe that is no longer with us. It has gone out of business. Then it came back as another type of school that also went out of business. It went out of business.
What do you mean
they're
over two?
How did you find it
coming from Philadelphia?
I wanted to be a special ed teacher. I was working with kids with special needs. So I wanted to either be a special ed teacher or I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to go to art school. So I was looking at like liberal arts schools.
What kind of art were you talking? What kind of medium?
I like drew and sculpted. I liked clay.
Oh, that's cool.
And I would draw. I did a little glass blowing in high school, but...
There's a pottery studio across the street here.
I don't care anymore. I mean,
yeah, that's nice.
You don't want to blow some glass?
No, I was never good at blowing glass. I couldn't get the bubble on center, so all my things came out like tilted. Dad saw some like tilted things that I made. Everyone else was like great at it. And by the way, it was a juvenile delinquent high school that had this.
Yeah, all right, so hang on.
Okay, everyone was just making bongs. Like there was nothing else anyone was making the whole time. They're like, so many vases with these holes in the middle.
Let's get to all of this.
Okay.
We have quite a bit to talk to you about.
Well,
first I'd like you to
I have attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. But tell people where they can find you. Where you're on Twitter, any dates you have coming up
I'm on
Instagram
Snapchat.
Or if you're on Facebook or if you're in anything else.
I'm on
so
Snapchat.
So just let them know and
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. It's all my name. It's all Annie Letterman.
That pause, man.
You know.
Okay.
You got to pause after you say the D.
So yeah, go follow her. Go see her. Do you have any dates coming up?
Yeah, I'm doing Governors. I'm doing, what the fuck is the name? Damn it. I sound disrespectful.
Governors on Long Island.
Yeah, on Long Island.
It's a cool club.
I'm doing that the 22nd, 23rd.
Cool.
Of this month. This very
month. Oh, man, you get to be on Long Island in the summertime? That's dope.
My dad grew up there. He worked at Jones Beach.
That's fresh.
He threw, he put his dick on the cheeseburgers if people were shitty to him. He told me this with cheeseburger. I was like, the cheese ones?
While you're eating a cheeseburger.
I'm like, what? Just
put my dick on those if somebody was nice, wasn't nice to me.
Bad for his dick. The customer doesn't know his dick was on it, but like his dick knows that there's cheese all over it.
You ever get like you ever bite into a piece of pizza and that cheese burns the roof of your mouth? He must have had sores all over his dick.
We had a kid.
Not all over. It's not that big.
I won't say his name just in case, but he had senior year. I was a junior. He worked at McDonald's and he was telling all of us, today's my last day. Just come. I'm going out with a bang. And he would just start giving us a ton of food, loading us all up and stuff. And then he really wanted to just get fired and not quit.
Oh, no.
So he's standing at the register. They did piss in the pickle jar. They peed in it. And to this day, I still take pickles off McDonald's. Nothing else. I eat
pickles. They are pee tinted. They're pee tinted.
But I take them off McDonald's burgers if I have one. And he's standing at the register and he's telling, he's like, watch this, watch this. And this lady walks up and he just starts digging in his nose. And then he just wipes it on the, you know, it's that plastic little cover of the thing. He wipes on it and goes, can I take your order? And they were like, that's it. And he fucking got fired.
They didn't fire him when he was giving away free shit?
No, because they didn't know. He was just sticking it in bags and handing it to us. They don't know. Back then,
oh,
it wasn't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Free McDonald's. I'd still eat it.
Oh, man. I'd
eat free McDonald's. Oh, yeah.
I haven't had McDonald's in a while, but.
Okay, so we got to jump back.
I don't even remember the question. I honestly can't.
It's okay. We'll start over for you.
I don't even know how I'm living in the world.
You told us you were brought up Quaker.
I was brought up Quaker.
Let's start there. How about that?
All right.
Like just the oats mainly, or was it?
You'd have definitely the first Quaker on the Crab Feast. There's no doubt.
What's up, Q?
You asked how I got crabs. That's what.
Right. You're right.
But
well
we'll get
done.
Back to that. We'll get back to that.
I'll write that down.
So I usually remember after the podcast what the question was. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what was that podcast about? So I grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and my mom
born and raised,
Cheltenham.
Are you like a Ben Franklin descendant?
No, because
of those
my mom decided
you are, though,
Ricky
huh?
Franklin.
No, my mom decided to be Quaker. It wasn't like
okay.
So
it's
she
not
just was like,
generations
well,
of
they
Quakers.
Didn't have no, there's no fucking, do you think God is in my family from what you know of me?
I would say.
Do you think there's like a.
So what, the Quakers not believe in God?
No, they do. They believe that God's in the form of an inner light that everyone has. So it's like there's good in everyone and everything.
Oh, that's cool.
So I think that's like a pretty chill.
Shit, I might.
Brought up.
I might roll over to the Quakers.
Yeah, Quaker's not
bad. Get my black hat!
Quaker, I don't. Oh, that's
the guy on
Amish.
Quaker Oats. Where, no, the guy on the Quaker Oats thing. He's got a nice black hat on.
I know. Yeah. I was like, what is
I
that?
I know Amish
because,
again, I'm from, as you call it, trash, but I'm from Maryland. And we used to go to, on field trips to Amish country and the Utz potato chip factory and all that stuff.
Why? Is Utz made by?
It's close by.
Okay.
You just don't know what fucking any religion is.
And you go to the whole, the what was it? The Dutch, is it Dutch pretzels or something
Dutch.
Like that? Yeah. Pennsylvania.
They have the best accent going.
Yeah.
Did you just mistake the word Pennsylvania for pretzel?
No.
Okay.
Dutch pretzels from Pennsylvania.
They went on field trips to pretzel factories.
We did.
I did a pretzel factory one. That was great.
See, she's making fun of you.
No, I
was on that field trip.
No, I went to, there's a Philadelphia pretzel factory. We went to it, and it was a fucking epic, wonderful moment in my life that I'll never forget.
Are they hard pretzels or soft pretzels?
Soft pretzels, and you watch them fucking spin them and tie them and knot them all up.
Salt them?
Salt them.
Butter them.
It's great.
That's what's up. So tell us about.
It was Auntie Anne's. I just realized you can say that anytime you want.
Oh, I remember Auntie Anne's. Like in the.
But this
in
was
the
malls,
pre-Auntie.
Yeah. This was pre-Auntie. Auntie Anne's is still around.
Yeah, in the malls and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know anything about Quakerism, so tell us a little bit about it.
Inner light that everyone has. We went to a Quaker school. We called all of our teachers by their first names. So it was like my kindergarten teacher, we'd just be like, Cindy,
yeah.
I got to pee or whatever. And. So there was just no boundaries from the very beginning. No boundaries. No respect. We're not taught to respect.
Quaker's dope.
Yeah, Quaker was cool. So you sit in silence. Your church is they have these facing benches. So it's like all these like old wooden benches facing each other. We had a fireplace in mine. So it was cool. In the
class?
No.
In the church.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's called a meeting house. Mm-hmm. So you have Quaker meetings. So you would sit in on Sundays. And then in school, we would have to do it on Wednesday mornings.
Wait
too,
a minute.
Torture.
Sorry. Would everyone like have little boxes with like the benches inside the boxes, or you're saying the whole meeting house was just like benches facing each other?
It was like there was some of them were boxed in. There were facing benches that were like for the committee leaders would sit up there sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think I could have sat up there if I wanted. But
how big
like,
are we talking here? How many people are showing up at a
I
service?
I think like probably 75 were at my Quaker meeting. Mm-hmm. Maybe more, maybe 150. I don't know.
That's
I can't really
that's
remember.
Double, but all right.
where was the fireplace?
I'm not good with numbers.
Clearly.
Andy Letterman. Or space. Bad with numbers yeah. and keeping on track.
Where was the fireplace?
The fireplace was like in the center of the two facing benches, and then all the other benches were facing, like looking. It looks like if you're, it looks like a church.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Looks like a church. So, but like a chiller, there's no stained glass. But I remember
what do
you
wear?
You can wear whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, okay.
But I would wear on Wednesdays when I would do it when I was in elementary school because my ADD was so bad I needed something to play with. I would wear this shirt. I had a shirt that had a telephone on it and then it had an actual like little curly telephone
Shut
cord thing
up and
on
came
it.
Off it.
And I would wear that so I could just play with the,
wow.
the thing. But anyway, so you sit in silence and then the whole thing is you're supposed to – if you feel like you're moved to speak, it's supposed to be God speaking through you, stand up. Everyone's sitting in silence. You stand up and you speak.
Can so, I get a pretzel?
I stand that's up. God, that's where I test all my dick jokes. But you, and then people just sit and listen to you and you can say whatever the fuck you want. So some people would like recite Bible verses, but it's not, there's two different types of Quaker. There's programmed and unprogrammed. I was unprogrammed. So there's not much like, they don't really talk about the Bible or anything like that. And then programmed Quakerism is like, I mean, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I remember going at Youth Quake, which I was going to tell you about.
Yeah.
My Quaker Youth Retreats.
It's called Youth Quake.
My team. Well, I used to go once
you
a month. I would go on these
with
things.
An oh, my God.
I would go once a month on these things in middle school. It was called Middle School Friends. And it was all these Quakers from around the tri-state area, the Philadelphia, New Jersey.
Sure.
And, I guess
York,
not
right?
New York. New York didn't come. It was just Jersey and Philly. But so we would meet up and have these like weekends where we would like sing, you know, Joan Baez songs and like finger each other and we just finger and sing Joan Baez and there were like kids in wheelchairs.
Quakers
and,
are getting yeah, crazy.
Kids in wheelchairs.
I remember just one kid in a wheelchair. We would take his wheelchair out for a spin.
He'd let you? Or you just
yeah, big mistake. He really shouldn't have because we really took it for too long.
Yeah, I'm sure. People wanting to jump it and do all kinds of dumb shit.
I like to
theirs.
Go in it. I would go in and I would cross the street and then I would stop in the middle of the street and I would pretend I dropped something. And then I would take a really long time circling around the thing to try to pick it
oh
up.
My
and then
God.
I would get up and I would pick it up. And I would scream, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It was my
you
best.
You have not, you're, yeah.
It was my best work.
You've been you for a long time.
Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm. I've been a real annoying piece of shit for a long time.
That's not
but
what
so,
I meant, but
then we, there was a high school version called Young Friends and you could
middle
be,
school friends, now they're young friends.
Now they're young friends.
Right.
And then, so all of the youth groups, Quaker youth groups in the United States met up in North Carolina one year.
For Youth
for
Quake?
For Youth Quake.
How many people are we talking in North Carolina?
It was lots
anywhere
of
from what to what? Double to what?
Anywhere from
10,000 to 50?
There were not 10,000. There was maybe 1,000, 2,000.
Right. That's a lot.
It's always one or
yeah,
double.
That's almost all of them,
yeah.
isn't it?
So it was a lot of Quakers. And so we all met up and we found out about programmed and unprogrammed. We didn't know that it was like, because we were just like hippie kids, you know, mm-hmm. everything was cool. It was like very like gay friendly. Everyone was a lesbian growing up. Everyone had two moms. And in fact, one girl I went to school with, I remember she said, I want to be a lesbian when I grow up. Like that was her thing.
That
we just
our,
thought it was like a thing you could
right,
just,
yeah, right.
just choose. But she probably, I mean, we all did choose for a little bit. But so we go to Youth Quake and my friend and I, we got in trouble. You usually could smoke. There was usually a smoking area. And I smoked cigarettes at that point because.
What age?
I was 14, I think.
They let you smoke?
They're yeah, really they would let you smoke. It. I think if your parents had to sign off.
Let them find their way to not smoke.
Exactly.
They're
my
fucking
parents
growing
like,
the tobacco. I went to the Amish. I've been into
it's
I've
not,
been into
not
the Amish.
Amish.
I know they're Quaker, Amish. But I know they also
do you love the movie like Witness
butter.
Or no?
I know you fucking.
I do.
I've been
love
in the
it.
Tobacco barn.
I love that movie. Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So go to Youth Quake. Something happens where I get in trouble somehow and I get. I'm roomed with this girl and we're both like juvenile delinquents at this Quaker youth retreat. And we had met some boys, my friend Pedro, I'm still friends with. And I had just got my nipples pierced. So I remember my nipples were like still wounded.
Wounded.
They still had scabs and stuff on them. But so we wanted to go hook up with these dudes, but I guess the chick in charge had overheard that we were going to sneak out or something. So they had someone, they called them FPs, friendly presences, were the the adults. Mm-hmm. So one of the chaperones, the FPs, was sitting outside of our hotel room door the whole time. So we tied sheets together and climbed out the window. We scaled the window. It was snowing. And we went to this guy's room, Topeda's room, and I made out with him, and he played with my little sore nipple rings, and we're still friends to this day.
That is unbelievable.
I love stories.
But they told my mom that they would have sent, if it wasn't in North Carolina, I would have been.
So they caught you coming back? Is that how you?
Yeah,
got
they knew we were.
Like,
I mean, they just knew we weren't there. Yeah. But nothing.
How do you know she's not? She came back. Her nipples were bleeding. Well, you do the math.
This girl right here with the titty jewelry, right here. Get her, bring her over here. Come here.
They're like, that guy Peta has blood around his nipple
on
too.
His mouth.
Yeah. Why is there blood on your chin, sir? He was just suckling my little nipple wounds. When I went to get my nipples pierced, I actually went back to... It was
at
on 14, South Street.
You did this?
I got one pierced at 14 and one pierced when I was 16.
2 year wait.
So, yeah, I don't know why. I was like, felt lopsided. I was like, ready to do it. But I didn't want to commit to both. So, anyway.
Still didn't have her ears pierced.
Right.
No, I don't think I did have my ears pierced.
No.
I don't think I did.
Is that a lifelong piercing, even if you take it out? Does the hole remain?
Yeah.
Like, tongue grows over, ears stay forever.
My nipples are like, they're like, nice try, you white trash slut. Never forget. They're just there. It's always
never
there.
Never forget.
Never fucking forget, whore.
Oh,
never
God.
Forget what you did. I took them out when I was 20, so I had them for 6 years. Or
well,
one for six. Yeah, one for six.
One
but
for six,
I went,
and one for four.
There was a place, South Street Tattoo, on South Street in Philly, and there was a woman named, what was her name? Sue. A woman named Sue, this big fat lady, who she had all these tattoos of drawings her kids had done, and she's like, I'm letting them color it in. You can tell her kids are like three. You're like, bitch, maybe like don't give them that. They're just gonna end up tattooing themselves or something. But she would tattoo and pierce people underage. So we went there. We didn't even need fake IDs. And I remember right when she was putting the ring through my nipple, she dropped it and she goes, oops, butterfingers.
What?
She went, oops, butterfingers. Like, oh, no big deal, butterfingers. But then thinking about it, I'm like,
you couldn't even drive there?
I couldn't drive there. Like, someone had to drop us off, and then we had to just, like, pretend our nipples didn't hurt.
How
my friend
Hannah
got
your titties
with me.
Pierced? I'm going to run the grocery store real quick.
But, yeah, no, we got our titties pierced. And then, yeah. So
did it hurt like a son of a bitch?
It hurt
That's
a lot.
Gotta hurt.
It hurt a lot. It was very burning.
And you had to get it twice then because she started and then.
She didn't. It had just touched my nipple, but it hadn't pierced yet. So it fell out her hands, butterfingers. I also was like, bitch, you better not have butterfingers than, like.
Right.
My fucking dad finds out about this. But so what I realize is the fucked up part about her doing that is I fucked something up. Is that she was a grown person touching the genitals of children.
Right.
Like I guess if I was like, I'll pierce my clit. Like I guess she would pierce my clit.
Yeah.
She'd be like, put your little pussy up here. Your child pussy up here.
Oh my God.
Get your pussy up on this. I mean, it was crazy. Like, I don't think I'd been to the gynecologist yet, and this lady was, like, tweaking my nipples.
That's,
like, what a fucked up bitch.
That is that.
Like, a tattoo is one thing, but she's, like, touching my androgyny.
But what do you expect? Yeah. You're the one who's in there trying to get them done. Like, I love that you put it on her, like, this crazy bitch. You know what I mean?
But okay, so at 14, which, by the way, I still feel like I was yesterday, and then I think about it, I'm like, that was a fucking long-ass time ago. Mm-hmm. But
that means you have a good memory.
But I felt like I was very old. Like, I felt like, I understand everything. I did acid. I understand like the world now. I get everything.
Acid at 14?
Yeah, I saw through my skin, you know. I saw all the way down to the bones in my hands, and now I understand how the universe works. And I was like, I'm a fucking grown up, and I was sure of it. But then I look at 15-year-olds and 14-year-olds now, and I go, oh my God.
Yeah.
That is such a fucking baby. And that's so, I lost my virginity when I was 14. I did acid. I did a bunch of shit. That was bad.
Have you done a college gig lately?
Oh, God, they may as well be 7 years old.
I mean, you get there and you're just looking out and you'd be like, holy shit.
First of all, put some clothes. Why are you wearing pajamas? Get the fuck out of your pajamas. It's just, they may as well be seven. I may as well be talking to a small child.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I may as well be teaching a first grade class.
All right, so wait a second. You said me and this other girl were the only juvenile delinquents there, but most people use that as a euphemism. You were a legit juvenile delinquent.
I was a juvenile delinquent.
All right, What happened? What age are you going from your Quaker school to
juvenile? Hold on a second.
Juvenile?
I have a real problem right now.
What?
How many juvenile delinquents still go to fucking Quaker camps?
Yeah, well, I'm
dork?
Saying, did that happen after?
But
She was a JD when she went there, she said.
I was bad. I mean, I smoked already. I had my nipples pierced. Like, I had already.
But what does
in.
That have to do? What puts you in juvenile?
In juvenile school? Well, I went. I chose. It was a school. It was an alternative school. So it's an alternative school if you get kicked out of your public school, your public school pays for you to go to this school.
Gotcha. Did you get kicked out?
I did not get kicked out, but I was smoking in the bathrooms. I was getting in trouble. I had really bad learning disabilities, ADHD, all that shit. So I was like struggling in school. So I realized, I'm assuming looking back on it, that it was like, the only thing I'm going to be really good at is being bad. So I think I was just like, I'm going to go all in on this. And, you know, I just was friends with like the fucking girl who lost her virginity before she got her period. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just was like drawn to those people. You know the girl?
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, she's bottomless? That's so weird. She's pubeless and bottomless? That's so crazy. She's 12? That's so weird. But
how do you treat ADHD? I mean, Ritalin, is that the only
way? We're on Ritalin.
And does it do anything at all?
You say we were. Everybody there?
My twin brother.
Oh.
Except my twin brother has Tourette's, so that he couldn't do a lot of the ADD drugs because it would aggravate his Tourette's.
What is his outburst or whatever?
His tics? Yeah. He would do like a head like sup. He would go like sup, where he'd like twitch his head up, like throw his chin at you. And then he blinked a lot and he snapped for a little bit and he would spin. So it
sounds
be
like he was in
him.
A jazz dance.
Yeah,
had a kid. That
he was
did
just
that.
In theater. But when we were on the swim team, he would get disqualified for spinning underwater. He would spin in the water.
In the middle of the,
he would
the, middle
dive.
Of the lane.
Oh, he was
yeah.
Hey, he's so using sorry. A torpedo again. Oh, he can't do the torpedo again.
The whole pool turns into like.
They'd be like, swimmers, take your marks. And then they'd be like, lane three, take your marks. Because like snapping and like jittering around. Yeah. So, but he was slow
he
anyway.
Try
he wasn't going to win. I don't think that would have worked either.
If he could have just let it go at the right point.
Yeah, I don't think he had much control. We didn't know what Tourette's was like because he had a very mild case. So Jim Eisenreich, one of the Phillies, the Philadelphia Phillies, had Tourette's. And so he gave this speech to children where you could come. It was like a little.
At the Quaker camp?
No, it was at the field.
It was regular.
So we went down to the field. And we must have been like
Tourette's
we were somewhere.
Night?
It was Tourette's.
Stadium?
It was Tourette's night at the vet. And so we got to go into the locker room.
And my night?
Big sports family.
What's
so we were
away?
Like, we were so excited to go to the Phillies. We go to into the locker room. We must be like eight. We're anywhere from 8 to 10. I have an older brother, who's 2.5 years older. So we were just in that age range. All we know is blinking and snapping at this point. So we're like, this will be cool.
All right.
Jim Eisenreich's giving his speech. And then it's just outbursts of like, just like the N word, like just like we'd only heard the N word like when my dad stubbed his toe. So we like didn't know what it meant. But people just like screaming like, fuck you, Jim. You fuck you, Jim. The whole time he's giving the speech.
I was in the same place. You have fuck up. You were, you know, when
crazy.
I was your age.
And we were just so traumatized.
How do you, I mean, can you cure it, but can you maintain it?
I'm sure there's medicine and stuff. Max grew, he kind of grew out of it. He still has a little bit, I can see it a little bit behind his eyes a little, but he doesn't.
Now he just does some like off-Broadway shit.
Yeah, he's just jazz hands. He says that he likes to go into a closet every once in a while, though, and just like scream curse words. But I think I would like
God,
that too.
That does sound like it would be
I'm
nice.
A big, like, I like to punch shit.
No,
I just feel like there's some marketing exec out there like, yeah, you know what did me in? Tourette's night at the vet. That was mine, man. That was
what happened? Hour. People throwing baseballs the whole game.
And it got
it
ugly.
It was so crazy. My mom, there was a lot of my mom taking us into those experiences and then being like, oops. She was like, my bad.
Oh my God. All right. So you couldn't really, there was nothing that could really curb your ADHD or could just maintain, right?
I mean, it was fine. I just was never going to do well in a traditional school setting. I was just not going to do well. So I had gone to that Quaker school until fifth grade. And then sixth grade, I went to Cedarbrook or Elkins Park or something, one of the local public schools. And that's where I just like couldn't hang because I was so used to being in a class of like 13 kids. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, tons of kids, and it was just like I was overstimulated. I was, you know, banging the Puerto Rican kid, not banging him, but you know, whatever.
Just
we were banging. We were little. I didn't bang until juvenile delinquent school.
So
ninth grade, yeah.
What year? What grade did you get into this juvenile school?
So seventh. I did sixth grade, seventh grade. Then I
did it. She's talking about. It's funny to me that you're talking about doing public school. Like it to me would be juvenile school.
Yeah. I just fucking hated it so much. It was so bad. I was just couldn't keep up with any of the work or anything.
So
I mean,
six,
I probably
should have
just been in the fucking LD classes, but whatever. So, so 6th and 7th. And then I went and visited the school because they wanted to send me away. They were like, we're either going to send you to, they were going to send me to a boarding school. They never were going to send me to a military school, which I think would have been probably good for me.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's going to be really tough. I mean, I don't know if you're dealing with something like that. Like, were you separated from your brother? Were you guys like super tight or no?
We were not tight because I was always bigger than him. So I dominated everything. And then I don't know if you can tell. I know. I've just been bullying. I kicked him out of the womb. He came out first and then I came out feet first afterwards. And I always thought it was like a joke that my family said I kicked him out. Like, no, the doctors said you physically kicked him out. So I was just born bullying.
Came out dropping an elbow on his head.
Yeah, I was just like, fuck you, dude. And I got into a choking phase a couple years later. But so phase, he didn't like me that much. He didn't like me that. Well, now I like the choking, but I like to be choked. But so he didn't. I was
in a funny how
I was
it all comes full circle.
I emasculated him. Yeah. So I would beat up kids that were like mean to him or not beat them up, but like shove them into things the nice Quaker way.
Mm-hmm.
Violently Quaker.
God,
and so then it wasn't working out. He was doing well. And so
he didn't go to the school?
No, he didn't go to the school. But they held us back into kindergarten because he had learning disabilities. And then they didn't discover mine until second grade. But we were both held back. So then I skipped eighth grade when I went to, I checked out the Krefeld school.
What's it called?
The Krefeld school was the alternative school.
And that's when you could study glass blowing and do all that kind of
stuff?
Yeah,
and I was really into art. So yeah. I liked that they had a glass blowing studio, they had bronze casting. And it was just like, it was all the kids on the fringe. So it was like either the like juvenile delinquents, the bullies, or the kids with like Asperger's who like thought, there was like a girl that thought she was a horse that would gallop. And so I was like a little bit of both. So it worked out. And
did your mind slow down and stuff when you were doing art? Or did it just... Was art the right speed for what your brain was doing?
I was able to focus on it. I was interested in it. I think a lot of it was just like lack of interest. I liked math. I liked things, but I didn't have much follow through.
Yeah.
As you can tell with the way I can finish stories. I was like, this is fun. Oh, no, that's fun. I like this too. Let's do this. But so when I was 12, I was in a car accident. I was swimming. I was a swimmer. So this is where I started to become a juvenile delinquent. I was always like felt like a bad kid because I was born with sensory issues. So I was very like I was tactile defensive. I didn't like to be hugged or touched unless like I like to be hugged hard, but I hated like soft touch.
What age is this?
This was like since birth.
Okay.
So I had to go to occupational therapy. I was on the spectrum. So I had to go to occupational therapy and they had to desensitize me they took this giant, it looked like a car buffer. It was like this furry vibrating thing. I was molested, obviously. But, and then the fucking piercing lady molested, everyone fucking molested me. Everyone got a turn. But so they would plug it in and they would rub it like all over my limbs. And it was just this horrible feeling. And eventually it desensitized me, I guess. My mom used to have to take surgical brushes that doctors use to clean their hands before they go into surgery. And she would have to scrape my limbs at night at home.
Because that, why?
It was to desensitize. It was like, this is the worst feeling you could possibly feel. So then
hugs won't hurt. To get hugged.
Right. And then we know I learned to hug a lot. I learned to hug. I learned to share my body.
Was your mom like loving to you always? Was she awesome?
My mom was...
I feel like your mom and dad need to be really patient for like...
They were very
what
unpatient.
You guys were going through. Oh, the
They were impatient. Yes. My college went out of business. Give me a break. I skipped eighth grade. That was the year you learned that. But they were impatient. No, my dad worked. My dad was at the was the treasurer at the University of Pennsylvania. So he was like... Had like a real job.
Did any of his kids make it there?
No, they gave him my dad's brilliant. Okay. He knew that how stupid we were going to be that they gave him when we were seven, they gave him a choice. They go, we can either give your kids a full ride to Penn or we'll give you 10% of Penn's tuition towards whatever college I want to go to. He goes, let's do the 10%. My kids are not getting into Penn. And none of us would have gotten in. I mean, we were all fucking ding dongs. My dad was like Mensa. My mom was like close to that. They were brilliant. There was one time my dad said something. He goes, your mom got mad at me because I said the side of her bed where she throws her clothes looks like Calcutta. And I was like, where's Calcutta? This was like 2 years ago. And he's like, you don't know where Calcutta is? He's like, you are fucking... He goes, you're smart, but you are so goddamn uneducated. I go, I dare you to ask Max and Timmy where it is. And I made him call my brothers and they were both like, ooh. Timmy was like, Canada? Like, none of us know. We're all dum-dums.
So how long do they make you stay in this school? 18 and then you're out?
I graduated when I was 16. So I went to the school.
Like, listen, I got man, that's the last clay pot I'm going to make.
Yeah, I mean, usher her.
I did unlearn there. I think I unlearned things. It was nothing. There was pillows instead of chairs. But anyway, oh, let me tell you about the car accident that turned me into a juvenile delinquent. So even though I was like kind of like a bad kid and I was always getting negative comment, you know, because I had a problem shitting. I was like constipated. So I was like hiding in closets and stuff to like hold in.
What was the longest you went to shit?
I mean, I don't know. I think I would go weeks.
Wow.
And they were like, they would, this is what cured it. I went to a doctor and the doctor went, when the poopy knocks, let it out. And that's like all I needed to hear. And then I was fine. But this
guy just
like
broke
four.
Down in there.
But I was four, you know, at that point. So, but so they were just, I just remember getting in so much trouble all the time because they were just so like, you know, out of their minds, like just take a fucking shit, just like stop. I would cry when I had to wear socks because of the tactile defensive thing. So I just was like difficult. I was a problem child. So I always felt bad. So then I just kind of like was leaning towards that because it was easier. And then, but I played sports. I swam. I played baseball. And so,
were you a good athlete?
Yeah, I was good. I was better than my brothers naturally, but they cared more. Mm-hmm. They had the heart, and I just was like, whatever. So we were swimming, and I was going to join the swim team that my neighbors went to. That was to train for the Junior Olympics. And it was at Georgetown.
You're like, I'll go for the special.
Yeah, yeah. Got a juvie like, school. I think I could take this kid.
I crushed that the Special Olympics. But so you were supposed to go like in the morning and after school, and it was going to be this really rigorous thing. And for some reason, I was like, this will happen. So my mom and I were with my neighbors driving there to like meet the coaches and everything. And we got in a head-on collision with a drunk driver.
Whoa. During the day?
Yeah, it was like 5 p.m. maybe.
That's a serious drunk.
Man, it is a drunk.
She was a mother. She was just like she was probably like my age or a little bit older than me.
Every kid doesn't, mom.
Doesn't fucking
and
change.
And she was
anything.
In like her minivan. I think she was going to pick her kids up. She was fucking hammered. And so she came over into our lane, crashed into us. The kid next to me, my neighbor Bart, the window broke and cut his eyelid. I remember his eyelid was hanging down. I broke my foot. My mom hurt her chest somehow. The chick, Marsha, who was driving, they had to get the jaws of life to get her out. She got crushed into it. And then the other chick, I think she was fine. My mom like kept her from going through the windshield.
Were you all wearing seatbelts or not back then?
I don't think she was. Yeah. I think she flung forward. I don't know if I was wearing a seatbelt or not. I never wore them. I just started wearing them when they started doing the beep thing. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, no, so I broke my foot. And so I was 12 at that point.
Did that woman live? The woman that hit you?
Everyone lived, yeah.
Everyone lived.
Right. And she gave us money, and we were supposed to use it on... We told the judges we were going to use it, the judge that we were going to use the money for books or something in college, and then my mom and I just took our family to Club Med in Huatuco, Mexico.
Club Med.
Where the archery instructor tried to fuck me when I was 13. He was 21. Anyway,
Jesus
one of many
Christ.
Molesting stories. So, anyway, so...
And did you give him the X?
I gave him the X. No. I always give the X.
No.
I have not always given the X. It's not true.
Given the O a couple times.
I've given the O. I've given the O.
Let them all in there.
I've let them all in. But so, so then I kind of had a choice where I was like, I can work hard to get back into swimming shape and continue on this path to try to go to the Junior Olympics, or I can quit sports and start smoking Newports and banging black dudes.
Yeah.
So what I chose was Newport Lights and Puerto Ricans.
Somewhere in the middle.
Nice medium ground.
So so then I was bad then, and then it was like there was no going back. So they sent me to this juvenile delinquent school. They let me skip eighth grade because there weren't real grades. It was just the upper school and the lower school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to be with these fucking babies. And they're like, okay. So then I got to skip a year there, and then I did my junior and senior year in one. I just like asked if I could, and they were like, all right.
They're like pretty chill about most stuff.
But
there were,
I mean, it's the fucking worst.
But you're out of school at 16?
I was out of school at 16.
So were you in college at 16 or 17?
No, I took a year off, and I traveled. I went to...
Where?
I can't wait
to I trained dolphins.
Cleveland.
I trained
Did you really?
I went to Hawaii. Wow. There was a thing. There was a place called the Koala Basin Marine Mammal Lab. And it was like the Dolphin Institute or something. And you would pay to go. You pretty much be paying to volunteer your time to help them train these dolphins. Mm-hmm. And it was all through the
university. Use some accident money to get down there.
Seriously.
Use some accident money.
How did you even hear about that, though? Is that what you went there for?
We found some guy. There was some like middleman dude who, when I knew I wanted to take a year off and I wanted to travel and like do educational type traveling, my parents found some dude who like his job was to set people up on different programs. Mm-hmm. So I remember meeting with him.
Sounds like a pretty
legit showed me
guy.
All these different, I know, he fingered me too. He didn't, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. But, oh my God.
No, one of my teacher, I mean, I had to take a teacher to court. I mean, there's always a nightmare.
For
it's
what?
Just weird. He jerked off on me.
Whoa.
He was my art teacher, and he wanted to draw me nude.
And you still liked art after all that?
I still liked art.
So wait, all right, how old are you?
I was 16. That's why they let me graduate, I think.
And they're like,
how old was he?
They're like, let's get this bitch out of here. Thinking back on it, I think he was probably 28.
And so he was like, come over and model nude?
He was like a white guy with dreads, which was like the biggest insult. And
you're like, you know, I'm into Puerto Ricans, right?
I'm like, how dare you put your dirty hippie jizz on me? Your patchouli smelling jizzum. But so he and his wife was my advisor at the school. She also had dreads.
Can I talk to you about something I've been through? Yes, was it your husband jerked off?
And she's like, no, he didn't. But they're divorced now. So we would hang out at their house. She tutored me. So I would go over there and she would help me write papers, aka just write papers for me. And they started like, I thought it was so cool, right? Because they were like, what kind of alcohol do you like? I'm like, this is fucking awesome. So they would get me like Captain Morgan's or whatever. Parrot Bay is what I liked. I liked
Parrot
fucking
Bay. Oh my God, of course.
Coconut rum. Mm-hmm.
It's the first thing I got drunk on, Malibu.
And so they got me coconut rum and they had weed and stuff. And so me and my friend, my best friend who I got my nipples pierced with, we would go over there and get fucked up with them. And then they somehow convinced our parents that it was like a good idea to like let us crash at the house.
And sleep there?
Yeah. They were like, it's good. Like they're going to be going to college. It'll be like a good transition. I mean, they just like fed my parents these things. And my parents just always trust people. I mean, they're
Quakers.
I'm so glad I didn't die for my parents' sake, because they would be just, there's so many times I almost did. Everyone I fucking grew up with is dead. So we would go over there and just get fucked up with these people. And one time my friend couldn't come over and his wife was out of town. And he was like, let me draw you nude. And I was like, I remember I didn't want to do it. I was like, no. But I felt like if I said no, I was accusing him of something already. Preemptively accusing him of something. So I was like, all right. And I remember I like kept my socks on, like in my head, I was like, I will not get full naked.
These damn socks I wouldn't wear when I was four.
Exactly. Yep. Now I can't get them off. The only thing that protects me. That's what I knew. I was having flash forward PTSD. But anyway, so.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Do you think this kind of thing would happen if you guys weren't in juvenile delinquent school?
Because
you say that like the archery dude went at you. I feel like
that's before I was in juvenile delinquent school.
But you still had that vibe coming off you, didn't you?
What, that I was down for the old dick?
No.
What, that I want to get molested?
That you were like trouble.
That I was bad. That was trouble. Something I gave off my whole life, even when I was way younger, I was always like any adult that had no boundary. You know the adults that are like, I have a lot of children I'm friends with.
Yeah.
I was always had adult friends. Like I always attracted those people. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it was just because my parents were like very relaxed with their parenting. I don't understand it.
Very relaxed.
It wasn't just your parents. I mean, even the schools you would go to, you were smoking at 14. You said they allowed you to smoke
Quaker
at 14.
Camp.
Yeah, Quaker
I didn't have
cramp.
Any.
Quick
I just
camp
didn't,
87.
Yeah, nobody was like, no.
The big smoke out.
Yeah, there was a smoking court.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
School.
You're 14.
There
that's,
was no.
That's
yeah, the
ninth grade.
Well, the juvenile delinquent school, their whole philosophy was like, we'll just make everything easy because these are the kids that wouldn't. They would never graduate from high school,
yeah.
But they fucked up. It was wrong.
But
was
I mean, I remember those kids in high school because the teacher would like take them like for walks,
yeah.
And they'd all be smoking. Like,
right,
you know,
yeah.
The teacher and the teacher would be smoking with them, yeah. And like, you know, it's like, hey man, you know, these kids are obviously dealing with something, or they have this thing
right.
Blocking them. Let's make it, like you said, make it easy.
And so they made it so easy. I mean, we had pillows instead of chairs. There was a class called movie class where guess what we did?
Watched movies.
And it was after lunch, so we would go out. I remember once we smoked opium. We smoked opium at lunch, and then we
as
came
a
out.
Class?
No. Man, like we were allowed to leave for lunch, so we would go. There was this street called Luzerne, And Luzerne was where it was just like this fucked up street in the city. And we were just these white kids like driving through, and these black kids, black guys on the street would be like, yo, yo, what do you want? What do you want? And they would sell us like wet or regular weed.
What's
or,
wet? Sherm? Weed dipped in PCP?
Yeah, formaldehyde, but not really formaldehyde. Oh, yeah. It's not really, it was, we thought it was, but it wasn't actually formaldehyde.
We did a lot of these same things in high school.
Yeah.
No.
You didn't?
No. So all right.
I always think that's normal. I'm like, everyone else? No.
That's the beauty of especially comedians. Like, the lives we live, we really think it's normal. And then you start talking to somebody and you're like, wait a minute, what? Like, you just said, I don't know how much shit we hadn't even write down before we started this.
No, it was not.
Okay, so the guy, the teacher
he's
here.
Drawing you.
Okay,
he's
so drawing. He draws me. He gets naked. And I'm like, at this point.
God.
At this point, I'm fucking.
Aren't you scared?
I'm like blacked out. I'm like not able to like, I'm paralyzed. No. I'm not fucked up. I'm just like.
In shock.
I'm in fucking shock. Like, I cannot fucking believe this is happening. And so he sits on the back of my legs and he jerked off into my knee pit. And I went and I got up and I went like, I have to go to work. And I just went and I didn't even like wipe it off. I just like used my pants. Do you know what I mean? Like, sure, I just was like, I got to get out of here. So I left, and then I went to work at Color Me Mine at the pottery painting place. And my manager there was like this 19-year-old dude. And I remember being like, something kind of weird just happened.
Sitting in the corner jacking off. Yeah, what was it?
He was like, well, what? And he was like, that's so fucked up. He's like, that's really bad. And I was like, I don't know. Is it? Like, I just was like, I don't know. I was just like in total shock. And then I called my friend, the girl who would always stay over there. And she said, I remember I didn't tell her the jerking off part. I just said it was really weird. And he like got naked too.
You did not tell her the jerking off because you were like ashamed?
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
And she went, oh, I'll never forget. He's gotten cheeky with me too. And I'm like, that's not what that means. He's gotten cheeky with me too. And you just blow him off, whatever. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm being crazy.
Oh man.
It's totally normal for like this grown up to be naked around and feeding
jerk
me drugs.
Off on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so then.
But you didn't have a type of relationship with your mom or dad where you could go tell them this happened?
That's the most humiliating thing that's ever happened. You know.
I mean,
well,
I
not
think
to
most
this day,
people,
it's not the
no
most
matter how close
thing.
You are with someone, they can't even say that because you're shamed and you're humiliated. And
I think the only way, I talked about it a lot after it happened because I was able to like make fun of it and to be like, take myself out of it.
But didn't you have to see this couple at school?
Okay, so he got fired right around that same time for throwing. He was in charge of the bronze casting and the glass blowing, and he had made like a bronze fist or something that he had in his Volkswagen fucking van that he drove around, of course. And he threw it at one of the other teachers.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Or his car or something. And so he got fired for that. But it was like right at the same, like it might have been the same week. So he wasn't there. And then I guess she had quit because they fired him. And he had also, I forgot to tell you, that he had gone to the school. Like he had been a student there too. So he was all fucked up. And it, so it's just so the school's fault. I should have fucking taken their asses down. But I fucking should have. But so then we had a mutual guy friend, me and this girl, who would never go over to the house, where he was like, you should come party with us and the teachers. And that's so cool. And he was always like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't need to. And we're like, no, why? You don't want to come? And he's like, super weird. And we're like, you're so lame, dude. So I went to him afterwards. I was like, hey, so. And he was like, I was friends with all of his friends. So I had like this group of guys and I told them and they were like, we're going to fucking kill this dude. This is a child molester and we're going to fuck him up. I remember my friend Carl or what was his name? Joe. He goes, I just bought.
Do you remember his last name, Joe?
Mm-mm.
No.
Joe. Fuck. What was it? I can't remember. I wish I remembered.
Yeah,
these
we
guys
do too.
Why? To get sued?
No.
But so he goes, I just bought steel tip boots and now I know why. They're like, we're going to go fuck him up. But he was like, I remember my friend John going, no, but he's weird because he had like samurai swords and stuff on the wall. They're like, he's going to bring his swords out and try to kill us. And I was like, do not go like get arrested. Like, don't you get in trouble for something like this dude did. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I realized like if he got like that with me and this chick said he did something to her, he must have done stuff to other girls. And the school was really small. So my graduating class ended up being like 17 kids. So it's like bound to have.
Police wasn't an option. You weren't going to do that.
Not yet. No. So I went around. This was like all in the span of 2 weeks probably afterwards. And I didn't want to go back over to their house. And I remember I was like, I never want to go back over there. And then the teacher's wife took my mom out to lunch.
Whoa.
And was like, you need to like, we got to get Annie back. Like, we need to like, maybe she and Greg need to have like a peer mediation or something. Like, it was so creepy where I'm like, what? Why
what
are you making
you back? Like, back
like they
the
wanted
house?
Me to keep like hanging out.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, I remember my mom being like, well, I met with, I don't want to say their names, but, and she, you know, they really want you. Like, is there something that you and your teacher can like talk out? I'm like, no, I'm never fucking going over there again. I think that's when she was like, oh, maybe something happened. Mm-hmm. So then I realized that he probably did this to other girls. So I go around the school and I just start kind of inquiring and I find a girl he had.
How are you breaking this conversation?
I'm just like, hey, hey, some like weird shit went down. Like, has anything ever gotcha. Happened? I know that you used to always hang out with him and you don't know. And so I found a girl he'd had a full affair with. Like for like 6 months, who was like, she was a year older than me, so she was 16 or 17. A girl that he had made out with once, and she was really uncomfortable. And I think like his wife was seeing her mom as a therapist. I don't know, it was a nightmare. And then another girl who said that he pulled his boner out on her, and she was the only one that was like, let's do something, but she was crazy.
Yeah,
she was like, had a really bad reputation for being a liar. I believe her story, but. It was just, she was
said,
like.
Said he put it on a cheeseburger. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah,
it was my dad, by the way. This is just all, teacher is the word I use. It's my dad's safe word. But so, me and this girl were like, we'll just go to our other art teacher who was like, he was older and he was more of like a paternal character. Yeah. Like he was a little bit more of a grown up. So we went to him and we told him
a little more trustworthy.
So we told him and he goes, I remember fucking remember exactly what he said. He goes, well, I'm torn because half of me feels like a father to you guys. So I want to fucking kick his ass. And the other half, like I wasn't there. So I don't know what happened. And I'm like, but
oh,
I just told you. And then he was like, I can't keep this to myself. We're going to have to take it somewhere else. So then we took it to my advisor, who at this point was this woman who was kind. It was like a nice person. And she was like, I knew something was weird about you guys. Like everyone knew we were hanging out there, which is like this weird thing that no one intervened. And so then she was like, we have to go to the principal. So then I go to the principal. And then the principal, this is all in one day.
God, you're from going to telling almost no one to now having to tell
everyone. I have to tell everyone in one day. It's the worst. And it's so embarrassing. I'm still
you're reliving
like embarrassed.
It over
I'm
and
still
over
embarrassed
and over.
By it. But so we go to the principal's office and the principal's like, all right, well, you're gonna have to go talk to the police about this. We're gonna call the cops.
I'm the comedian in me is like, he's like, he just he just jacked off on me too.
Yeah, well, he I Listen, got in trouble for something weird later
he just
on. I don't know. I don't know that full story. The school is
the
fucked
cop?
Up. No,
the
principal.
Principal.
Principal got
too?
Accused
Jesus
of some
Christ.
Shit. I don't know. But so
portrait was amazing. No,
the teacher
portrait was amazing.
You know that shit got burned. But so the teacher had been fired as a teacher, but he was still in charge of the glassblowing studio. He was like the tech or something for the glassblowing studio. So I guess he still had like on campus privileges. So in the night when I had to go home, my parents picked me up from school. I had to tell my parents on the car ride home or my mom.
Oh, you did.
Jeez. And then I had to like tell my dad. And so by the time I got home, the fucking stupid ass principal had called the teacher and said, you're not allowed on campus because Annie Letterman said this and told him exactly what I said. So by the time I got home, all over my answer machine was like his wife being like, you fucking lying bitch, like you fucking liar.
Oh my God.
All this stuff where I was like, and I like didn't want people to know. It was just like really embarrassing. So I had all this shit from them. And then I ended up going to the cops and the cops called my friend, that girl who told me they got cheeky with her. And she told them that I was a pathological liar. Which is crazy. I was never a liar of Asperger's. Like I really honestly like have always been like super honest, which was weird that the guy jerked off on me because I'm like, I'm obviously going to tell people. So like why me? Why would you pick me? But she started this campaign against me at the school where she told everyone what happened and told them that I was lying. So I would come back to my car and there'd be like, people would have hocked loogies on my door handle.
Oh my
there was
God.
Always like shit.
Man.
People would like yell shit at me. And I was like, are you guys fucking kidding? And so.
I mean, was this super, is that why the, I mean, that must have been really tough, no? Because I mean, you're playing it off like, oh, you guys kidding? But were you like fucking like, was it tough? I mean, that had to be
tough.
It
was tough. Well, when I came back, after the cops told me that she had said that, I knew she hated the word cunt, and she was in Spanish class. And the only way you get kicked out of that school is if you sell drugs or if you hit someone. It's the only way you get kicked out. So I walked into the, I just walked straight into the class. Like there was no pause. And I went to her, she was sitting at this table, and I went in front of the table and I formed a fist and I pounded it down in front of her. Sorry, I actually did that. Pounded it down in front of her. And I went, you fucking cunt. You stupid fucking cunt. You're such a fucking stupid cunt. The teachers came, pulled me out. I got in trouble. I remember getting in trouble and being like, this fucking cunt. Like, are you kidding me? And they're like, you can't do this. You can't treat people like this. And then her mom started this whole thing where she was like, your daughter can't be threatening my daughter. I'm like, your daughter's a fucking cunt. You're a fucking cunt. I hope you both die in a fucking fire. You're scumbags. Like, and this is the bitch that like let us do acid at her house. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is the parent that was like, she raised a fucking sociopath. But so I remember getting in trouble for it. She never, like, nothing negative ever happened to her. I got in trouble, and I remember years later going back. This is so sad. I went back to the, they would have the graduation ceremonies, and it was like, you know, there's only 15 kids, 20 kids. So the teachers, whoever was your advisor, would give a speech about you at the end of the year. And so during our graduation, this was the only vindication I had. The only vindication I had was her advisor gave a speech that said,
she was a cunt.
He said, I wish. He goes, she was like a Gemini or something. He goes, she's like a Gemini. She's like Shiva. She's two-faced. Like, he did it in this way that she didn't realize that he was like knocking her, but I could tell that he was like, she would do that. And mine was all about how I would stand up for things that were right, no matter whether I lost friends over it. And I just remember that was like my only like moment where they acknowledged that something was wrong had happened to me. But they definitely were like, you can graduate. This was all happened like 6 months before I graduated. And then so I went back a couple years later to say hi to everyone. I don't know why I went back. I'm like such a fucking, I always want to forgive and like make everything okay. So I go back and there I pop in. I want to go see the art teacher that didn't jerk off on me. Right?
Yeah.
Who I just really like felt like I had like a like
connection.
He cared about me, you know? And I remember I popped my head and he goes, this is only for current graduates. Get out. And he kicked me out of the room. And I was like so surprised because I thought like I was going to surprise him. He was going to like say hi and like give me a hug or something. So he did that. And then the custodian, this guy, Frank, who there was just one custodian the whole time for that whole school. He came up to me. He always called me Blondie. He goes, Blondie, I saw what they did to you. They did you fucking wrong. He's like, I watched the whole thing go down and they fucked up with you. And that was like the only person that ever like said anything to me about it and like really
apologized.
It's like
apologized. You're Rudy. Yeah. This is like you're Rudy, right?
He's, yeah. And so.
He was a janitor, man.
Little.
And then he jerked off on me.
Oh, no. Please say that.
No. He was great. Oh, no, he was awesome. He was really cool. And it was like, and I like want to find him and be like, thank you for like being the only person that had my fucking back.
Yeah, because that guy that.
Because he'll probably like, get the fuck.
That guy that he didn't really, but he was, remember, he was half and half on you. The
Which
guy,
one?
The art teacher that didn't jerk
asshole.
Off, and he was a half and half, and then showed you his true colors when you came back.
Can you believe
all
that?
All the shit you fucking went through, and you come back to say hello, and he just kicks you out.
And I ran into like one of the, someone that worked at the school, and she was like, oh, are you going to go visit the school when I was back home for something? And I was thinking about, I was like, maybe I'll go by and say hi. Like, I'm on TV now, like, that'll be fun. And I can finally, like, they'll be proud of me or something. And I talked to my best friend who I met in college. So she knew the whole story and everything. And she was like, you cannot ever go back there. Like, never go back there. Never talk to any of those people. Like, fuck them. And I was like, I like needed her to say that because I just was still going back trying to get them to like
prove you.
Yeah. This got so depressing.
No, it's
but like. Know, it's- It was just fucked up. I mean, it was just
Wait, so you took him
up.
To court?
I took him to court and I wanted to go on vacation and I didn't want to be in fucking court talking about getting molested or whatever. And oh God, this is the part. I forgot this part. His lawyer was my fucking old softball coach.
What?
And he still he still represented him. What a fucking scumbag. Worse than the teacher.
Yep.
What a fucking... His name was Jules. I don't remember his last name.
What did you
do
for?
For sexual assault.
Okay, sexual assault's the
but
charge.
But
a minor, though, right?
Yeah.
Because he was 28, you said?
Yeah. And then, so...
Got the Tattoo Sue right after it.
Tattoo
right
Sue after. Right after.
Sue Tattoo Sue.
I
right
thought
after.
Sue fucked me. Sue was fine. She was so polite with me. She was so delicate with my nipples. But he, since in Pennsylvania, if there's no penetration, you can't.
It's not.
Nothing can happen, really. So he got consecutively. They just put the R's together. He just got
so wait.
Three.
If there's no penetration, but
if he had stuck his dick in me,
right? I get that. But what I'm saying is that's against women. So it's like, oh, he didn't penetrate you, but he still ejaculated. Mm-hmm. He still came mm-hmm. all over. So he can get his nuts.
Yeah,
and you can't.
Yeah,
you know.
What if I did come? I was like, oh, by the way, no, I came.
No, I mean,
no, Ryan, I came.
That's why he got off.
You have to. You can't.
That's why I only fuck guys with dreads.
No, not you can't get your fucking rock off. You can't protect yourself yeah. outside of penetration. Yeah. You basically need to be raped yeah. for anything. To
I
happen.
Needed to be fully raped for him for something bad to happen. So
that.
What ended up happening was he had to plead. Like we did a plea bargain, and he tried to plead not guilty. I remember being like, and he cut his dreads off. I walk into
court,
like,
court.
This fucking asshole, oh, this fucking piece of shit. He's standing there in his stupid fucking jewels, this fucking scumbag, and he tries to plead not guilty, and the judge is like, you cannot plead not guilty. You like this is a... So then they go out and they come back, and he pled no contest. Like you fucking jizzed on me, dude. You fucking pulled your boner out to this chick. You fucked a bunch of other girls
there,
that don't want to be a part of
witnesses there too? Were there other people that had to testify?
That girl that... She that, did. Yeah, she did. And so...
But she's the one who told you... She said you lied though,
different
right?
Different girl.
Oh, different girl.
Different girl.
God, how many did he get to?
Who was probably jealous because something really didn't happen with her.
Yeah, she's a fucking idiot. So then he ended up getting 3 years probation. And he's doing fine. I Googled him the other day. His art's doing great. He's
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's like a respected artist. But he did get divorced. That chick finally divorced him. I saw her once. I remember I was going to Temple University, and I was on campus, and I saw her, and I fucking, I, you know,
yeah,
blacked out or whatever, didn't do anything. But I wish I had said something.
Yeah, but what are you going to say at that point? Like, hey.
I mean, I would have just done the same thing. I'd be like, do you approve of me? Yeah. Are you sorry that happened?
So all this shit goes on. It sounds like you're out 16. You take the year off.
Right.
It sounds like.
I go train dolphins.
But it sounds like you're. School years were miserable. What the fuck made you want to go to college?
I just thought it was what I had to do. And I look back on it. If I knew that comedy was going to be my path, I probably would have just gone right into it. But I didn't. I thought I was going to be a special ed teacher. I wanted to be a special ed teacher. I'd been working at Easter Seals with kids with like cerebral palsy and spina bifida. And
what's your background? I've been working with dolphins. Like,
you know what?
Probably go too. It was the same behavioral therapy as like. The same way that I shadowed a autistic.
Please tell
kid.
Me a dolphin didn't do something to you down there, because I know they're
rape.
They're
I watched
they
them
really
fuck.
Do.
It was really crazy.
You've seen a dolphin attack someone?
Yeah. No, not
each
a human.
Other, you
not
mean.
A human.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
No,
you laugh all you want. It happens.
So
it happens
I go to this.
Quite
I go.
A bit,
I,
apparently,
I you know plea bargain out of this thing. I leave this nightmare behind. I go on vacation to the Virgin Islands, and then I go do my real work, my training dolphins in Hawaii, and that was at the University of Hawaii. So it was like we would do different experiments with them and stuff. And it was a really fun, cool experience. Yeah. All the dolphins, though, there were four dolphins. Let me see if I can remember. Phoenix, Hiapo is the boy, Ake Kamai, and I don't remember the other one, Kalea or something.
Listen,
anyway,
I got
to
surprise you.
It costs way too much.
Get out of here. It costs way too much to get them all. Right, guys, let me out of there.
So they
come in on your tail.
Get through that net, man.
So they take these dolphins from the wild. They put them in these tanks, right? And they defend it a bunch. You know, people are like, this is like inhumane, or like, mm-hmm. No, this is for research. This is good. We take care of the dolphins. And I was like, you know, all on board. I'm like, of course, they take good care of the dolphins. Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Year later.
Blackfish comes out.
Year later, get a little, like a message from the Dolphin Institute, the Kowal Basin Mammal Lab, that a Kekemeyer, one of the dolphins, died of stomach cancer. Okay. And then I get another one saying that all of the other dolphins died of broken hearts.
Shut
all up. Of a sudden, a scientific laboratory is using the excuse of broken hearts.
Right.
But I mean, it just fucked up their like flow, I guess. And then they all ended up dying.
They really did all die.
All four
they
of them
didn't
died.
Do. They didn't ship them out somewhere. Or
they
do
all
something
fucking. Or... They couldn't have sent them back into the wild. They wouldn't have survived.
Wow.
They all fucking died. I think it was just the upset of like one of them going.
Yeah.
Just like fucked the whole thing up and they all died. So that's another good one.
Oh,
Way to close.
It's another good one. And then.
Then you left there and
then I went to Central America.
You had to leave. The whole fucking school was gone. That's the second school.
That's the second school. Then I go.
Wait, who'd you Central America down. With?
Central America was with a program that weird guy set me up on. So it was like a group of kids that were like, I was the youngest, I was 17. And then there was like a girl who was maybe 23 or something, but there was like 15 of us. And we went to, and then
maybe
there were
30?
Two leaders. 15, 30. I got a pattern here. You guys are good at like math. Thanks. I like that. So we go, we travel to Guatemala where we learn Spanish.
Man, you really did at least get around the world a little bit.
You get jizzed on once and everyone's like, what do you want? Well, good. How do we, a little hush money.
Hush money.
So we go, by the way, I like how I said jizzed on ones, like that's where the jizz ended.
Yeah.
Never again. Now I'm like, you have to aim at the knee pit. It's a fetish I have now. So, that's not true. But so we go to Guatemala and we like stay, we have homestay families. It was really fun, really cool experience. Then we went to Belize, we went to Costa Rica, then Belize, and then Honduras. But somewhere in Guatemala.
Are you just vacationing? You're doing mission
work?
We're doing, what are you doing?
It wasn't religious, but it was like we were teaching English and learning Spanish. That's awesome. And then we were like, we did Habitat for Humanity in Costa Rica. Then we did like a sea turtle thing. And
I have a bumper turtles. Sticker. You best believe.
I wish there was this a video podcast where they could have had my
I
face
know, that was a good moment. No, my neighbors do have a Friends of the Belize Zoo across the street, a bumper sticker, Friends of the Belize Zoo. That's
I
for
thought
real.
You said Belize, and I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, you best Belize.
I get Belize now, but I want you to know that like that silent moment was me not understanding what you were saying.
Oh, I thought it was just...
And now this one is me not thinking it's good. So we do all the service work or whatever. And in Guatemala, I smoked weed with like two of the dudes and some local guys. We get high and someone finds out, one of these like 23-year-old bitches finds out, tells the leaders, and then we're no longer allowed to drink. Because before we were allowed to drink because you don't have to be a certain age to drink.
Is like weed like taboo there?
Well, we would have gone to like a weird Guatemalan prison or something.
Right, juvenile over in Guatemala.
I mean, they were just like, you cannot do drugs. You cannot do drugs with these people. So then... So then we get in trouble, and one of the guys was this guy I had like this really flirty relationship. He was really weird. He wasn't hot or anything, but I just had this like thing with him. He was like maybe a year or two older than me. But he, when they told him he couldn't drink anymore, he was just like, fuck you guys, I'm out. I'm going to just like travel alone, because he was old. He was a grown up, so he could just go off on his own. And I remember being like, don't leave. And then I was like, I'm going to leave too. And my parents were like, no, you're not. The one time they gave me a boundary. So then I just stayed on with the group. So I had this like kind of like, it was like this romantic little clique with this guy, Jesse, who had gone off on his own and like lived on some farm by himself for the month until he took his plane ride back.
Oh my God.
And he lived in DC. So I come home and I've had this like crazy experience. I was gone for 3 months with these people and I felt super bonded to them. And I like just nostalgic. I just
did
like,
they eventually start letting you drink again?
They did in Honduras. They let me drink again and I fucked a fucking... some dude on the beach, unprotected. And like, it was the last night. It was the last night. And I remember I fucked this dude on the beach. His name was like Jose. I swear to God. I mean, if I got knocked up, I'd be like, can I call Latin America and ask them if there's a Jose available that fucks blonde girls? But so, fucked this dude on the beach, totally wasted, went swimming wasted. I mean, I should have been dead. And I remember there was like volleyball or something. So we'd all taken our shoes off and we threw them under the stairs or something. And so I'm wasted, fuck this dude, you know, wipe the sand out of my pussy, go to get my flip-flops, grab my flip-flops. The guy goes back to his place. I go back to my place. We're on a plane the next day going home back to America.
On
the plane, full of remorse and regret. Just like, I'm filled with
You sitting next to him?
No, that guy's not.
That guy's a local, man.
That guy's a local, so that guy's gone. The other guy's off on his own. So I'm filled with regret and remorse. I'm like, I probably have fucking AIDS. I'm going to be pregnant. Like, this is a nightmare. I got the wrong flip-flops. I took someone else's flip-flops in the black or the brown out, whatever. And I'm walking and they've formed to someone else's foot. Mm-hmm. So they're making like a farting suction sound on my feet. And I'm just, each step is a reminder of what I've done. I just remember like walking and being like, I fucked this goddamn motherfucker. Oh my God, I have herpes. I still don't have it. Shocking. But not yet. So so then I go back to Pennsylvania and I'm living with my parents until I'm going to go off to college in New Mexico. And I still feel these feelings for this kid that's gone off.
The guy on the beach?
Not the guy on the beach. The guy who went off by himself.
The guy lived on the farm.
The weird guy. Mm-hmm. He didn't live on the farm. He's from D.C.
I know, but I thought you said he went off till his plane flew
back. He was on a farm. Yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah, he was on a farm. Yes. You're right. So then...
how did he find that farm? He just wrote it all up and said, like, yo, can I crash here?
He went to an internet cafe. And really? He just Googled what like expat places there were.
Oh, dope.
And he found this, like, you cook your... stay kind of, or yeah, you like pick your stay. And so so I want to meet up with him, and I remember we both really liked the movie
The Beach.
Cable Guy. So I'm
Cable
like,
Boy was great too.
Cable Boy. Yeah, was there Cable Boy?
The prequel.
Cabin Boy. Cable Boy. He's so young. He's so dark and so young.
Barely knew anything about cable.
Little stalker child, that's really funny. So I want to meet up with this kid. We also like Me, Myself, and Irene, we always talked about. So I'm like, movie. I feel like this guy's awesome. I'm like, I'm going to go all out for this guy. I'm going to go visit him in DC, but first I'm going to like play up these movie things that we like. So I call his house and no one picks up. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to leave a message. So I'm going to leave a series of messages like on Cable Guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, hey, so what are you doing? Give me a call. You know, I'm like, oh, hey, you must be in the shower, right? So I call like three times in a row. Halfway through the third time, his brother picks up and is like, hello? And his brother was just there listening to me do it. Completely ruins the bit. So then there's just two messages of me. Like, uh-huh. It's not enough right, to do yeah, the thing. Right. So fucking humiliating. And then I'm like, but he'll think it's funny or whatever. And then I talked to him on the phone and he was just like, yeah, that was weird or whatever. And I was like, oh, it's weird. Is our spark gone? I guess I'm never going to give up because I never give up on people. So then I still go visit him, right? And I'm like, all right.
Did he know you were coming?
Yeah. He was like, yeah, come. I thought this was like going to be really fun. So I get, like, you know how on Me, Myself, and Irene, they had pictures of each other's faces mm-hmm. on their shirts? I get buttons with like two pictures of us, okay? And I'm wearing the picture of him. But I'm like, this is so, I'm being so great, right?
Yeah.
And this is also like, you have to understand, I have brothers and everything. So like, I never would have put myself out there romantically. This was all as like, but we're buds or whatever. Yeah. And maybe we'll thing, you know? So I get like the button with his picture on it. And I have a button for him. And he like picks me up from the train station. Or I think he made me take a cab or something. I like show up at his house and I give him the thing. And he looks at the picture. He pulls the one off my shirt. He's, this picture's fucking ugly, and throws it into the woods. And I was like, oh, this is the first minute of like a full weekend that I'm spending with this person. And he was just super fucking.
Farm's changed you, man.
Farm fucking changed him. But then he was like all shitty to me for a weekend. We didn't hook up or anything. It was just terrible. And then this was 10 years ago or more. I'm more than 10 years ago, long time ago. So I'm walking down the street. I'm on Sunset in like Los Feliz area. And I'm just like talking to someone. Maybe I was walking with like Joe DeRosa or something. And a car pulls over and this guy jumps out and he's like, Annie? And it's this kid, Jesse.
No way.
And he's like, I heard your voice. He's like, I remember your voice. And
he was like, up in my mouth. Heard the voice.
Right. But I guess I'd hung out with him one more time in New York and he was there with his girlfriend. I think I made out with him like in front of her or something, like a fucking asshole. But so I hadn't seen him in over 10 years. He recognized my voice and he gave me his number and he's like, call me, we should hang out. And I was like, totally, man. And I fucking never did.
Good.
Finally a win.
Good for you.
Finally a fucking win. Yeah.
I thought you were going to call him and do the whole Cable Guy thing again.
I should have. I just finished the last one. I just did the last one.
Yeah.
Can you fucking believe his fucking brother picked up the goddamn phone? You know what I'm doing, dude. And then I had to be like, oh, I'm doing like a thing.
But I would have been, if I was into you, I would have been like, oh, I totally get it. You were like, no, yeah. I was in the middle of fucking running my bed here.
But he, I mean, yeah.
Don't worry. I got a backup plan. Wait till you see me. I'll bring him buttons. I'm bringing picture buttons. Don't worry, I'll be there.
Oh, he just doesn't get it. I need to just like give it. But that was really, That was pretty humiliating. I haven't thought about that in a while.
What was he doing in his life when you saw him?
Here?
Yeah.
He just moved here. I can't remember what his job was. It wasn't impressive.
Okay.
It wasn't like unimpressive. I think he was, I don't know, just like a job. I mean, our job's really cool, so no one can really beat what our job is, like, at all, ever.
It's so funny when people, like, you'll be at a wedding or something, people are like, oh, so what do you do? You're like, like we said, I'm a comedian. Like, really? What do you mean? Like, stand up? Like, yeah, like, no.
I did stand up once.
And then they
that
just
usually comes in pretty quick.
Oh, you should do this. Oh, don't write a joke about me. It's like, you're so fucking boring.
You're going to write about me right now?
So, no, my aunt's always really weird around me. She thinks I'm going to write a joke about her. She's like really mad at me all the time. I'm like, Aunt Carrie, I'm not going to fucking write a joke about you. But, so I was living in New Mexico. I went to college at the College of Santa Fe that is now out of business. And I was
Long, when were they established?
Like late 1800s, maybe even.
Shut up.
Or maybe early two. I don't know.
Or could be 1985.
Let me look it up.
No, it's all right. We'll find it.
But
later.
It was old. It was founded by the LaSallian brothers. So it was like these fucking dudes were walking around. They had
John LaSallie.
They had brothers. Yeah, John, the Italian guy. Right?
Yeah.
So these guys, they had like these old men with these like long robes on with like the rabbit teeth would just be walking around. Like, I got taught statistics by a guy that was, like, 90 years old in one of those.
Gotcha.
And he would just, like, randomly in the middle be like, abortion is killing babies. And we're like, oh, it's like statistics. Can we just finish this class? Brother Brian. But so, I'm living in New Mexico. I'm working at this bar.
I got a surprise for you again, man. I can't even believe this is happening right now. Brother Brian, get in here, man. Here, bro.
Brother Brian was still alive. Well, Brother Brian
Leave
later
the incense
on.
Outside, Brother Brian.
Brother Brian later on. So I went to the school for about like on and off for 7-8 years. Like it took me so long to get my undergrad.
What was it called?
The College of Santa Fe.
College.
My mom wrote all my papers. You have to understand, my mom since 6th grade had written all my papers for me.
Uh-huh.
Like whenever
Did
I was
you just,
like
translate them or something.
Yeah, like sometimes I would do that, but sometimes she'd just write them for me. Like it started
so
when I was like.
People just hustled you through the system, basically.
They got me through the system.
Yeah, they got you through
but
the system.
But it fucked me because now I'm a writer and I'm like, this is really hard. And my mom's not funny enough. But so my mom stopped writing my papers, like four papers left. She like did the landmark forum and she's like, you know what? I'm standing up for myself and I'm not writing these papers anymore. And I'm like, bitch, I never asked you to write the fucking papers. I just now don't know how to write papers. Because you've been, I mean, in sixth grade, the teacher called me to her desk and was like, why does this say it's written by Abby Letterman? Because she put her fucking name on it.
Oh my God.
Like, it's just, there's a picture of me at my graduation and my mom's like, she's like, she thinks it's funny that she's like taking the diploma. And I'm like, get off of that, bitch. Like, this isn't cool that you did this. You fucked me up. But, so I had all these incompletes and I moved to New York. This is just a little side thing. I moved to New York to do comedy and I quit drinking. And
how
right,
old are you?
I was 25. I quit drinking and I was like in AA and I get this call from my art teacher. It's a college art teacher. She's okay. Cool. She's a really great artist. Awesome. Cool woman. She's like, hey, I just want to let you know that the school is going out of business in 2 weeks and you have 4 incompletes. Cause these are the 4 subjects my mom has now. She said she wasn't gonna write the papers. So years later, they just gave me incompletes. So I was like, whatever, I'll do it like when I'm fucking old and bored. But I had to do it in 2 weeks. So I had to fly out to Santa Fe like 3 times. I had to relearn statistics because the Brother Brian wouldn't just pass me. He wouldn't just fucking pass me. So I sat in his office and he retaught me statistics. I remember I fell, like I was leaning back on the chair and I fell completely back with like my legs up. And he didn't acknowledge that it happened. Like he just sat there and I sat back up and he continued talking. It was like the weirdest. It was more embarrassing than if he had like made fun of me for falling. But I remember him saying, he was like, we're all really big fans of you in this department. He was like one of the people that was like the teachers that believed in me. He's like, we know you're a dirty little whore and you've probably had lots of abortions. You probably killed a lot of babies, but
I love the school's folding. He's like, yeah, I can't give you the grade.
Just give me the fucking grade. Then he gave me a D. I'm like, I flew here twice. You can't just give me a better grade. Not that it mattered. But anyway, so.
What do you graduate a degree in?
Counseling psychology. I don't know like how to spell Freud. It's like not a real. I don't remember anything. All I know is that like I don't know. I know what borderline personality is, and I accuse people of having it a lot. But so, so in Santa Fe they have one of those tax break things. So all these movies film out there, And so there's just constantly, I was working at,
is it a beautiful city? I've always just pictured it to be is. Like gorgeous.
Sometimes it's ugly and sometimes it's pretty. So it's a desert. So there's like beautiful mountains and beautiful sunsets and it's really gorgeous. And
nice
then
area where I can charge my crystals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Charge your crystals or smoke your crystal, either one. So it's just, but it's a bunch of like crazy people. So it's like old stupid hippies or like old artists that have completely taken from the Native American. You know what I mean? It's just like a really weird thing going on there. And I loved it. I lived there for 7 years. So I did love it, but it was a bad place for me, mm-hmm. as far as drinking and everything went. But I was working at this bar that was like the popular local bar, the cowgirl, where you had to dress up like a cowgirl. You had to wear a cowboy hat. Like waitressing isn't already humiliating enough. You have to wear a fucking costume. But so I'd work there and all the, whenever the movies were in town, the people would come to the cowgirl. And so Sam Shepard was shooting the movie. I think it was Brothers or something, some like war movie. And he would come in all the time to the bar and he would sit at the bar while I was bartending and I would make margaritas. And one time I was like off of work. And at the time, a girl that I worked with, I was best friends with this chick who was a lesbian, who was like obviously a lesbian. Mm-hmm. Like one time I remember I was trying to find out what this little girl. This little girl had drawn on her like her placemat and she wanted her drawing back. Someone had thrown it out. And I remember going to her and going, what was your waiter look like? Was it a girl or a boy? And I remember her breaking out into sweats. This little girl was like, like she was being confronted with gender abnormality. Yeah, right. She was like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, I know who that is. So I was friends with a girl who was like, obviously a lesbian. And I hung out with her all the time. She fingered me once, but,
are you being serious?
Dead serious.
You
are, eventually. Well, I thought I was gay. She like got it in my head that I was gay.
But you also came up in that Quaker lifestyle of where you said
everyone was gay. Right, yeah. Everyone was gay. But yeah, so I never had a problem with people being gay, but I never once was like, I'm a lesbian. I was like always like on the deck, you know? And so, but I was drinking heavily and I was dating really gross dudes because I'd already gone through everyone in Santa Fe. It's such a small town. I was dating this guy who worked two bars down from me, another bartender, and he would give me like pints of Jaeger and we would fuck in the bathroom. And then on his break, he would come over to my bar and we'd fuck in my bathroom. It was just like this, like, he was like an MMA guy before MMA. Like he was like, did Brazilian jiu-jitsu or whatever. He was just like a dude in a way that was like gross to me at the time. And I remember my friend, the lesbian, was always like, maybe you're gay. I'm like, no, we would get wasted. And she'd be like, come on. Like sometimes I'd make out with her and stuff. And I'm like, I don't think I'm gay. And she's like, but don't you think the way that the reason, like you never thinking you were gay means you might be gay? And I'm like, maybe. Like I was so, you know, and I loved her. She was my friend. So I was like confused. And dating this fucking idiot, like this example of like the broiest dude possible. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were sitting there and he goes, wait, come into the office. And he showed us two girls, one cup.
Oh,
and she goes,
good God.
And she goes, do you see what I mean? And then I let her finger me that night. But I didn't, I was like, can we stop? I wasn't into it. But anyway, so Sam is at the bar. I get off of my shift and he's like, oh, I have a drink with me. So I'm sitting with him and we are talking about, I'm just like going through this weird crisis. I think I was 23 and I was like, I just thought I'd be like a different person at 23. Like I thought I was old then. I was like, I just thought you had lived. Yeah, I had lived. But I thought I was going to have like kids and I don't know. I just thought like I would be a teacher. I was like, I was really like a nightmare. I was drinking a lot and I was just,
did you know you wanted to do stand up at this point?
I like, it was in my head, but it wasn't real. No, I did not. I knew I wanted to do stand up then. I definitely did. Cause I had done an improv class in Philadelphia at that point. So I did know I wanted to move to New York and do comedy. So I was sitting at the bar with him. I'm telling him about like how I feel like I'm not where I thought I was going to be. I feel like I'm a loser or whatever. And he's like, no, you're extraordinary. You know, like his like rough, weird voice. He's like, you're extraordinary. You're living an extraordinary life. And I was like, I am. And he's like, yeah, you're gay, right? And I'm like, no. And he's like, oh, that's not your girlfriend. I was like, no, Sam, I'm not gay.
She fingered me once. But
yeah, like she just fingered me, dude. And then we smoked a fucking menthol and got over it. But, and it was just funny. Like we were just drunk. I remember just thinking it was so funny that I was gay and I was telling him I was going to make shirts. Like Sam Shepard thinks I'm gay. And he's like, I want 10%. It was like our bit all the time. And he was like, but he was giving me this lecture. He's like, no, you're living an extraordinary life. And I told him, I was like, I want to do comedy. And he's like, that's so scary. He's like, improv, I don't understand how people do that. And I'm just having this like crazy conversation with this fucking, you know, genius. And he's telling me about working with Bob Dylan and like all this stuff. Yeah. And I'm just like, this is such a crazy connection I have with this guy. So then a year later, I moved to New York. I quit drinking. I start working at this restaurant. I start doing like hitting comedy hard, doing open mics all the time. And I'm standing outside, having a cigarette or something. And Sam Shepard walks by. This is in the East Village. He walks by with his like daughter and her family. And I'm like, Sam! And he's like walking towards me. I'm like, this is fucking unbelievable. How is this happening? I'm like, Sam,
this is for current graduates only.
I did it. I fucking did it. I moved here. I'm doing comedy. Like, I moved to New York. I fucking did it. I'm living an extraordinary life. And he goes, did this used to be a jazz club? Like, no clue who I was. Oh, no man. Interest in like in having any conversation with me. It was so funny. Like, he was coming up to me and asked me if there used to be a jazz club there. And he was like, what is this silly bitch talking about? No memory of me.
Was it no memory or was it like, but I can't have family. My yeah, family probably didn't want to think be like, I'm like.
I'm sure it was like one of those. Or also, I mean, this is a person that's been like famous for a long fucking mm-hmm. time. They meet people every day who yeah. they have an impact on that, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just so, I just couldn't believe it. It was so funny. He's like, is there a jazz club here? I was like, I don't know. But you can come to me do an open mic. No? Okay, cool. See ya. But that was my Sam Shepard story. All of these are making me the biggest loser, by the way. These
not at all. I mean, what you have certainly, and you're young, man. Good God, have you lived a life
very
already?
Young.
Fuck.
So young. Thank you.
You are young.
So
heartache
young.
To heartache, you know?
We stand. No promises.
But,
no demands.
But I'm
for
alive,
you, it
so
has been.
Good.
Love has been a battlefield. Jesus Christ.
I got
Christ.
Crabs.
How'd you get
got
crabs?
Through. There was a,
yeah,
they were
we
shooting
start,
a movie.
That's how we start.
They were shooting a movie.
Starts with shooting.
They were shooting a movie.
It starts with, where? This is New Mexico?
This is in New Mexico. They were shooting a movie. I was working at there was one nightclub called Swig. I was a go-go dancer there. And you got to understand, I am a fucking bad dancer. Like, I'm a really bad dancer. I think it's why I'm a comedian.
And what's go-go dancer? Like,
go-go dancer
short
is like
shorts and a halter
yeah,
top.
Yeah, like short shorts
shit.
And a halter
yeah,
top, okay. And you're like dancing on a podium.
And are you just trying to get the crowd going? Is that what you're there for?
I don't know why. It was like sort of a gay club. It was owned by these two gay guys. And they just one day, I was just drunk, and they were like, go stand up there. And I was like, all right. And they gave me $50. And I'm like, can you come back? We'll pay you $50 an hour. And I was like, all right. So it was me. They had a drag queen. This guy, Calvin, who went by, what was his, Brandy was his stage name. He would duct tape his dick
hold
back.
Hold on a second.
Calvin, Brandy, get your asses in here. Come on, both y'all.
Calvin was cool, though. Calvin was cool. But Calvin would dance up there. I would dance up there. And then they Brandy. Got a stripper. They had an actual stripper who would come. And she wouldn't strip, but it was like, all right, the competition's all fucked up now, guys. Yeah, it was like right, really yeah. Like everyone was just like over at her. And I remember being torn between like, am I jealous of, I don't want that, but am I jealous that she's getting that attention? And I was a bad dancer and I would cry all the time. I would fall
yeah,
off the
stage.
Yes,
that's
I would fall off the podium. My knees were shot from dancing. I only worked there for like 3 months, but I destroyed my knees, and I would get so fucking wasted to have the courage to dance because I'm such a bad dancer. And I would get up there, and if I
first of all, it's not because you're a bad dancer; it's because you're an alcoholic.
Oh, I was an alcoholic, yes.
I find it also odd that see for me, I think I would have to get more fucked up to dance and bear my body like that than I would be worried about the dancer I am. But that wasn't what it was for you.
No, it wasn't like nobody like touched me or anything. I just literally was like right. on this little
still
podium
like a little
nobody
stoop.
Danced with like I wouldn't let anyone near me. People just like leave
your ass
really
is in everyone's face.
Not
like
really
that
in their
height?
Face.
Oh, no.
No, they would just it was really just like a super weird.
You weren't just up on your own little box.
I was up on my own yeah. little box, yeah. But it wasn't up that high. It was like it was
back.
Only like a foot tall.
Sure, you always come back to me, and I appreciate it.
I do. So I was doing that, and so there was a movie in town, and they had like their premiere party, or they're like, we're in Santa Fe party there, and I met a bunch of the people, and I went back to this hotel with them, and there was one guy I thought was super hot, that I was just like, this is the fucking hottest guy. I'm going to fucking bang the shit out of this dude for the 3 months he's here. This is gonna be awesome. But he was next to this girl with an engagement ring, so I just assumed he was engaged. I was like, I guess I won't fuck that dude. And then there was another guy who was like hot but not as hot, and he started hitting on me. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, all right, I guess I'll just like, so I started dating him. He would take me, he was in his 30s. I was 21. He was in his 30s. And I'd never like dated anyone that had any money or anything. He would take me out to nice dinners, and we would go to the spa, and like living the life.
Yeah, living the life. 3 months. He didn't have to commit to anything.
3 months, not going to commit to anything. But he kept like breaking up with, like, he would be like, I can't give you what you want. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like,
this is everything I want.
Cocaine? Like, what do you want? I already have coke. Like, I brought him in, you know, like, I introduced him to all the people. We would go up to this, there was this rich dude who we go up to his house. He had like, he had a pool with speakers underneath. And he had
in
a hot
water?
Tub. Yeah, yeah, isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. He had a hot tub. He had a dry sauna, a wet sauna, a pool table. He had like stocked pizzas and stuff. Like, he just had a party house. Yeah. He had swimsuits for all of us. Like, there were always like new swimsuits. So we would go up there. I like brought this guy in, this guy who was like, he was like a AD or something. I brought him in. And then he kept trying to break it off with me. And I kept being like, you can't like break up with someone when you're like about to, like, there's just no
reason.
Listen,
I got these pins made. Come on.
But I wasn't into him like that. Like, I was like, I remember being like, I'm an adult. Like, I'm a sexual adult. You know, I was like, I'm just going to fuck this dude for 3 months and then see ya. And so we hook up. I go to Chicago for 2 weeks. I come back. My mom is visiting. I'm in the fucking bank with my mom. And I'm like, my fucking shit itches. What is this? I'm like, Mom, something's wrong with my pussy. And my mom's like, shut up. My mom's like, stop. Like, my mom like doesn't want to hear it. She's like, I don't know.
Are you saying pussy to her too?
I'm saying
bank?
Pussy, of course. I used to tell my mom to get up off my dick. Can you get up off my dick, bitch? Like, we're a cursing family. My dad called me a cunt when I was little. I was like, why am I a comedian? But so, where I'm like, something's up. My mom's like, stop, go away. You know, don't talk to me about this. She leaves. I go to the school nurse. I guess I'm still enrolled in the school at this point.
They're like, you know, we don't exist anymore.
It's summer. Yeah, they're like, it's not out of business quite yet. I go to the school nurse and I go, I think I have crabs because I looked and I saw them.
Wait,
I could
were
see
you
them.
That person that stayed and you just stayed in New Mexico like every summer?
7 years.
You never like went home during the summers and stuff?
I lived there. I just lived there. That was my home. I would move back to Philly and I would go back there. I would move back. They call it the land of entrapment because it's so easy to live there. And it's like putting a pause on your life.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like you can't fail or succeed there. So so I would always go back because it was just so easy. And you just drink yourself to fucking death and that's it. But so I was on one of my back times and I must have still been enrolled because I went to the school nurse. And I said, I have crabs. And she goes, no, I don't see crabs. I go, I have crabs. And she, look again. And she was like, oh, yeah, you do. And so I had to go get hair lice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that guy had just gone back to L.A. I was so fucking pissed because it was obviously when I had gone to Chicago, he had fucked someone, gotten crabs, given it to me.
Yeah.
There was one. I had hooked up with one other guy who was the original guy who was next to the girl with the engagement ring.
Oh, yeah.
The one you wanted.
One I wanted. Yeah. He was like shooting a short video, and I was like a go-go dancer in the video. It wasn't. This is right before I got the crabs. So this is like when one of the times when this guy, the older guy, is like breaking up with me and being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working on this little music video thing they're doing, and I'm in the music video, and the guy directing it is the guy that I originally wanted to bang. And he comes up to me, and he says something. He goes, you're fucking hot, or something like that. I'm like, aren't you engaged? And he's like, no. I'm like, here's my not like he or he gave me his number. He's like, call me if anything like doesn't work out with this guy. And I was like, oh, okay, you were my original.
You're
anyway,
my number one draft.
You're my number one. You're my number one. And I was just so I've never been more attracted to anyone than this person. I remember just being so physically attracted to him. And so he, so later that night, I told the guy that I was dating. I go, why don't you come watch me dance or come visit me while I'm dancing, and we'll like go home together or whatever. And he didn't show up. So I was drunk and so pissed. And that guy had shown up with a comedian who I'll tell you who it is afterwards, a comedian that was working on that movie. And so he showed up. And so then I was like, fuck this other dude. So I show up at that guy's hotel room.
Which dude?
Call him the dude, the original, my first draft pick. I show up at his hotel room. I call him. I go, where are you? He goes, oh, I'm at my hotel. I go, oh, me too. And then like he opens the door and it's just like.
It's on.
But I like sucked his dick and we like hung out. Like I didn't fuck him because I was like, maybe I'm gonna get back with this other guy. I was like feeling guilty, you know. I'm not really a cheater, even though I was gonna break up with this guy anyway. And so hooked up with that guy, but there was no way he could have given me crabs. Like there's just no, we didn't like.
Again, no penetration.
There was no penetration and there was no like pubes touching each other. This other guy, I was like, I fucked him for months, you know. So I call him. After my mom leaves town, the nurse diagnoses me. I call him.
It's
I have the rib.
Now it's a diagnosis.
I have the rib. And I call him, and he's on set.
Yeah, with the coat,
he's on set. He picks up, and I go, "You gave me fucking crabs," or something. He goes, "No, I didn't." I'm like, "You gave me fucking crabs, dude." And he like denied it. And I was like, "All right, whatever, dude." So I get rid of the crabs, and like I'm using the shampoo. Don't shave; they burrow. I found out, but I eventually get rid of them. The guy never admitted giving them to me. Years later, I get a text message like, "I'm in New York doing comedy."
Mm-hmm.
"Hey, funny girl." It's like a number I don't know. "Guess who this is?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Give me a hint." And he goes, "We banged." I go, "Well, that doesn't narrow it down." And then he goes, "You accused me of giving you an STD or whatever." And I was like, "Oh, what's up, dude?" And then he wanted to hang out. He's like, "I think I owe you an STD or something." I was like, "I'm never fucking you again, dude. Sorry." And then, like, how creepy. And he must have been like 40 at that point. I mean, it's like so crazy. I'm like, how is this, like, these scumbags? But so.
Did he admit giving it to you?
Never admitted it. He also had hair plugs. Like, he was a piece of fucking
That's
work.
That's right. We got the crabs.
Exactly. Piece of fucking work. But I got rid of the crabs. So then I stayed in contact with this other dude, right?
Yeah,
the guy who I blew, the number one. He lived out here, and I was still in New Mexico, but I really liked L.A., which is a huge mistake. I hate this town now. But I thought L.A. was so cool, and I was like, I'm going to move out there and do comedy. And we would cyber, like, chat each other. We would talk on, what was the Mac one? It was like,
G-Chat.
No, yeah. It wasn't G-Chat. It was before Gmail.
Instant Message?
It was like the, whatever the Mac version was of gotcha. Instant Message. And we'd mess each other and we'd get really dirty. And I was like, I'm going to fuck the shit out of this dude. It was so like, I was so into him and it was so hot. And for some reason, like the cameras would never work. The webcams would never work. Like, thank God. But so we would just write really filthy things to each other. It was like a year in the making. And then like one spring break, I came out to like visit an ex-boyfriend. I was going to come fuck this dude. I was like, this is going to be fuck fest. It was like 2005 or something. I'm going to fuck the shit out of this guy.
Quaker fest got blown up by fuck fest.
I'm going to fuck the shit out of this guy. He was like, working, he was like, he was directing a movie or something. He was like starting to do well. He was getting all cocky. So I go to meet him at a party. I knew friends of his, and he was supposed to be at this party. And I go to this party, and the friend that we had in common was a celebrity chef guy. So he's like huge cokehead. So we were just like super high on coke. I'm like wandering around this party. I'm like, where's this guy? Like, I don't want to say his name, but I'm like, has anyone seen him? And he wasn't there. He wasn't like responding to my texts. And then some random dude I'd never met before comes up to me. And this is like right when MySpace came out, but I wasn't like friends with anyone I didn't know. I wasn't like a public figure or like anything. So this guy comes up and he goes, "Oh, I know you. You're Annie Letterman." And I go, "I don't know you, dude." And he goes, no, "I've talked to you online." And I go, "What? I've never talked to you before." He's, "Oh, well, you think it's my buddy a lot of the times, but I give you what you want." He fucking, his friends would, it was, he was, I was being catfished.
Oh my
God. When I was like, they would all go on there and like cyber fuck me. There's a comedian involved. I can't wait to tell you who it is. And
we'll tweet at everybody later.
but he fucking totally like played me. I did end up fucking him anyway. I fucked him for 5 minutes. He made me watch like cuts of his movie that he was working on. Like he would silence me so I could hear him say action and cut. And he would show me from all angles. Like I didn't give a fuck. I was like, I was like super narcissist. He fucked me for 5 minutes after like a year. It was 5 minutes. It sucked. We were supposed to hang out the next day. He like completely blew me off. My feelings were so hurt. I remember just feeling like so played. Like I was just like, I've never felt like so disrespected. Cause I'm like, I'm cool. I'm like not like trying to be anyone's girlfriend or anything. I'm just like your friend you fuck, you know? And but I was neither. And so then
Franny Letterman.
Franny Letterman. Annie Franny, and my middle name is Francis. So then you know, I don't, obviously he blows me off. I don't see him again. My feelings are all hurt. And then he pops up. I have a boyfriend. This is years later. I have a boyfriend. I posted a picture of me and my boyfriend. He pops up, he goes, "Hey, congrats on your relationship." And I go, "Cool, that's weird. All right." And oh wait, there was one part before this. Sorry, I'm so bad at storytelling.
And then four of the messages come up from other dudes. Hey, yeah, congrats too.
Oh god, they really fucking. How horrible is that?
That's terrible.
It's crazy.
Isn't that so fucked up? And then I still fucked him. That's the really sad part. But I go. So I go. There was a time I saw him between that. So I obviously was like, this guy's a fucking asshole. He sucks. And I go out to LA again for something else. And I look really good. I'm in really good shape. I'm tan. I'm blonde. I'm young. Like, I look good. I walk off the plane and he's at LAX with his current girlfriend, who's an actress, who's in a thing that I'm going to tell you about too, who you guys would know. But so he's with this actress and she's older. She's probably like in her mid 30s, which I thought was really old then. And I just like look so much better. I'm like, I fucking win. Right. And he comes up. He's like, Annie Letterman. And I meet his girlfriend. Everything's cool. Then he starts hitting me up again. Like, you're so fucking hot. When are you moving out here? Blah, blah, blah. And so then I'm like, I won this or whatever. Don't talk to him for a while. Get this boyfriend, post this picture. He says, congratulations. Then he goes, the reason he was hitting me up is because his movie was premiering. So he goes, you should go see my movie.
Sam Shepard wrote it.
Go see my movie. There's a guy named Brandy in it. But he's like, you should go see it. I go, oh, me and my boyfriend are long distance. And he goes, well, you should go tell him to see it. And I go, yeah, I'm going to tell him, hey, babe, go see this movie that this guy who fucked me for 5 minutes did. Then he blocked me.
Shut up.
I never talked to him again. He blocked me. And I was just like, this motherfucker. And then I moved to LA. He thought
he's
I was
like,
just
hey,
someone.
Every ticket counts.
Listen,
you know?
I'm a chick in his head, right? That's just like a waitress or a go-go dancer in Santa Fe. Like, he's never going to see me again. He can treat me like shit. Then I come out here. I'm doing like Chelsea Lately. I'm doing other stuff. People are bringing his name up randomly to me. He like does work in the comedy field. People bring him up and I just silently sit there. And then I looked him up on Twitter and he fucking follows me on Twitter. Like, I won.
Oh,
right?
My God.
I won.
Of course.
There you go.
There's one
out
there.
On a positive.
You should have blocked him.
I know.
There you fucking go.
Run into him.
You still have the opportunity to block him.
God damn it.
I will.
Annie, what an adventure.
Man. You'd
already be like, that was crazy. We couldn't have followed any of her stories. She's a dumb bitch. Blah,
no.
Blah, blah. Someone jizz on her.
This has been fantastic. I just want to hug you. I promise I'll pull you in tight because you know I know you have.
Yeah,
that.
I need a hard hug.
Yeah, I won't give you that soft handshake bullshit hug.
I'll just scratch
no,
your
don't
arm.
Feel bad for me.
I don't. I'm just going to hug you tight. Proper. That's how you like it.
I do.
You do need a hug, though, for Christ's
I don't
sake.
Need a hug.
You needed a bunch of them.
I did need some hugs. When I was younger,
every
I needed
time
hugs.
I say something, she goes right back to like, I did. Thank you so much for coming on. This is probably our longest episode ever.
Sorry.
I think it's gonna be. No, don't be sorry.
We'll cut it down.
We'll cut it. We'll chop.
Which stories are you gonna take out?
We'll get it down around 45 minutes,
15 or 30 minutes.
They all like this is like an hour, 2 hour podcast.
Thank you, seriously, for God, for being so honest and for
sharing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna feel so.
You're fantastic. You really are. Will you one more time? Social media. Your any
oh,
dates?
Oh, it's
anything,
Annie Letterman, ANNIELEDERMAN, on Snapchat, Facebook, or wait, don't fuck with Facebook, please. What is the other one? Instagram, Twitter. And then come see me at Governor's at Brookridge in Long Island. My dad will put his dick on a hamburger and give it to you.
Perfect.
Perfect.
July 22nd, 23rd.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all.
Are you guys on Snap?
No.
Too old.
Next Tuesday.